This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
He's one of our new best friends. He's Marcus Spears, the big swagoo, former NFL defensive end. And you can see him on NFL Live Monday through Friday at 4 Eastern on ESPN. They're out here in Scottsdale. Catch the big swagoo along with Laura Rutledge, Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky, and Ryan Clark. Let's say hello to Marcus Big Swagoo Spears. All right. I don't know what that look is. I don't want the official.
Well, you gave me this big introduction, man.
Okay.
I feel like this is my first like late night talk show.
Oh yeah.
Do I need to wear these?
Yeah, if you want to, it might keep your ears warm.
Yeah. I feel like I need to do something like they do on the late night show. I'm good though.
All right.
I'm good.
Could you beat up all four of those guys?
Right, absolutely.
At once.
Throw them over that rail.
You could?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get rid of them one by one.
When's the last time you got into a fight?
It's been a long time ago. I won, though.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. They used to call me Tyson when I was young, Dan, because I was a one-hitter quitter artist.
Oh, that's it?
You know, I used to show up for Tyson fights, and
yeah.
You're excited, and you have, like, 30 seconds in, you realize you wasted $200.
Yes.
That was it. That was me.
Why would somebody fight you?
Because the big guy always gets tested. But when I'll tell you this, when MMA and UFC started, that's when I stopped fighting. Because the little dudes can fight. You don't know who you're dealing with anymore, man.
Well, I always look for the ears.
Yeah, if the ears messed up, run. Run. Run.
But who's the baddest dude that you ever played with or against?
The baddest dude I ever played
against. On the field. Like, the guy who might have scared you a little bit. Made you nervous.
He was on my team, Larry Allen.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he wasn't human. That's number one. Which changes everything about your advantages. He was strong. I was a rookie. He was a veteran. He wanted me to buy him a bottle of Louis XIII. Had no idea what that was. Didn't know what it cost. I went to the liquor store. Can we talk about alcohol on here? Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sure we can.
Yeah.
I already started.
Yeah.
Went to the liquor store. I realized it was $2,500 for a bottle. Went back to the locker room. DP had no idea what was going to happen to me because I didn't buy the bottle. $2,500, I couldn't really compute that at the time. I was still fresh out of Baton Rouge, broke and poor. I hadn't realized I was in the NFL. So I was like, bro, I'm not buying that bottle. He was like, you gonna buy that bottle. I was like, I'm not buying that bottle. And I told him, I said, whatever you got to do, we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to do it, man.
Really?
It was like a jail situation. It's not happening.
I would have borrowed the money to buy the bottle.
Nah, Dan. Sometimes you got to put your foot down, even if it means you might lose a foot.
And what happened?
Well, we tussled. We tussled at practice, and it wasn't as bad as I thought. I lost, but it wasn't as bad as I thought.
Did you ask for any advice from your teammates?
No, this was all about me. You ever seen that movie, that scene in Life, when Eddie Murphy said he can't have his cornbread? It was the exact thing. I knew I was going to have to fight, and it was fine. It was good with me. I grew up fighting. I wasn't, every man puts his pants on the same. That's okay. My mentality. And I'm no, Dan, trust me, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Okay.
But if it got to go down, it can go down.
When you play for the Cowboys, at what point do you realize this is different than any other team? And, the media coverage is just different than everybody else.
Immediately, man. It is. I tell people all the time, that is the biggest acclimation to playing with Dallas. Eventually, football becomes football, right? You're practicing. You got your schedule. You're going through it. But to always have media, literally always have a microscope everywhere you go, it's different. And I was happy when I went to Baltimore because I got a different experience of what the different things were. But, I mean, it's no coincidence that is the most valuable franchise. It's covered the most. Ratings go through the roof when people talk about them. So it just, you realize, though, it's a 24/7 news cycle about the Dallas Cowboys. Even if it's not national, somebody is having a conversation about Dallas.
But consciously, subconsciously, when you do NFL Live, how often are you trying to get the Cowboys into the show every day?
I'm not. I try to get them in as least as possible.
Why?
Personally.
Okay.
Because they break my heart every damn year.
Oh, okay. But if Dak Prescott played someplace else, how would the media cover his performance? Now, they might look at his contract, and I don't know if they'd treat him like they do Kirk Cousins.
They wouldn't treat him as bad, or we wouldn't have that much conversation. Look, the reality is, this is not new territory, right, for any quarterback playing with Dallas. I knew who Troy Aikman was before I knew what football was. And I wasn't really – I grew up a Jerry Rice fan. I was more of players fans than a team. Mm. So Reggie White and Jerry Rice was the guys that I watched. But I knew who Troy Aikman, Mike Irvin, and Emmitt Smith were because David Blaine went there and did some magic tricks during Hard Knock. And they had every microscope you could possibly have. And also they were winning, which we haven't done in a long time. Yeah. But let's not get into that, Dan. I want to stay focused on why the Cowboys are who they are. They were marketed. So you realize, like, this is reality, show, football, all of that stuff intertwined with playing the game.
Yeah, because it feels like the Cowboys are Hard Knocks every single day.
100%. 100%.
You don't need a TV show. They are a TV show.
Well, look.
And then you bring in Jerry, who wants to be the owner, GM, coach, and quarterback.
He wants to be everything.
Yes.
Dan, let me say this, okay? Some people might get pissed off. Jerry actually wants to win. He just don't know how. But if you talk to him and you realize how much he wants to win a Super Bowl and a championship, it'll get you going. Because it's not false when he talks about, I want to win it. I want to get it done. He just don't know how to go about it.
Here's the problem, though. Jerry wants all the credit.
Yeah.
And with that comes all the blame as well.
Yeah.
If you move on from Jimmy Johnson, that tells me an awful lot about he got a lot of credit there.
Have we ever talked about maybe the Cowboys are cursed because of Jimmy Johnson?
You think Jimmy cursed them?
I'm not a big baseball guy, all right? But I like baseball, all right? I'm not big because I'm not following everything that happens in it and, they get to the championship series, I'll sit down and watch it. The curse of the Bambino was a real thing, I thought. Right? And then the Red Sox won.
Finally.
You telling me we're going to have to wait a damn 100 years? Was it 100 years, Dan?
But maybe you do a sacrifice, like burn Jimmy Johnson's boat or something.
Well, they do it to me every day on TV. I'll be the sacrifice if it means a Super Bowl.
By the way, we're talking to Marcus Spears, the big swagoo. You can see him Monday through Friday on NFL Live. Dan Orlovsky is going to die on that hill that Joe Montana is not a top five quarterback of all time.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't. I just don't get it.
But I wonder what Brady's legacy did to Joe Montana. Because for such a long period of time.
It was Joe.
It was Joe.
Yeah.
Because he won his Super Bowls and that was it. But, like, you can't drop from 1 to 18 or something.
Listen, Dan thinks he know everything. Y'all know that. Y'all have him on all the time. And I got to fight with him because he's the quarterback guru, even though he didn't play that much. Nah, but honestly, like, that's – me and Dan talk about football a lot. And, like, truthfully, I think he's one of the best and brightest football minds I've ever been around when it comes to breaking the game down, dissecting. But to not have Joe Montana in the top five quarterbacks is stupid.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes you have to experience it. You have to see that person.
Yeah, I don't care, Dan.
To understand their greatness.
I don't care. I don't care about seeing him. I know he won 4 Super Bowls.
You could use Orlovsky as a Q-tip. You know that?
Orlovsky is little.
He looks like a Q-tip.
So he told me yesterday he came in with no jacket.
Yeah, he said, I didn't know. He had hand warmers and no jacket when he came in here.
That is the exact definition of Dan Orlovsky. You see me today?
Yeah.
I'm bundled up.
Yeah, you're ready to go.
I tuck my socks in my. So, DP, this is what the NBA players do. They tuck their socks in they put their pants in their socks.
Yeah.
And in honor of the KD trade and Bron breaking the scoring record, I wanted to dress like an NBA player today. A lot of good stuff going on in the NBA.
A little shout out there.
Yeah, a little shout
okay.
out.
Okay, greatest
look,
team.
Look.
The Travis Scott.
You know it.
He's got the Travis Scott ones on.
I didn't buy them, but
those things are perfection.
Yeah.
You didn't buy them?
Nuh-uh.
All right, so let me find the plug.
I got to give a shout out. So, Isabel Harrison.
Okay, Isabel.
Isabel, WNBA star.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good friend of mine, family friend. My wife and her older sister group, like, played at LSU together. We family. She got me these. She's a Jordan athlete. Shout out to Izzy.
Okay.
Okay, Izzy, shout out to you.
Yes. I didn't mean to do that,
Marvin,
Dan.
You're not going to get some free stuff.
I didn't mean to plug that, but it just happened.
Yeah,
that
right.
It happened that way.
So, better team player resume. LeBron or Tom Brady?
Better team player resume.
Like the accomplishments over 20-plus years.
Bron. I think Bron, 3 teams, 3 championships, 3 with 3 different teams. That's tough. That's tough to do, DP.
Well, going to Miami when they had Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, that ain't tough.
Well, they didn't win it when he left?
Yeah. But him with Dwayne Wade, that's 2 other Hall of Famers there.
I know, and I don't want to get into this with you because I love you, and I like you a lot. But we act like the teams that Jordan played with, the other dudes around him was trash. Scottie Pippen damn near won league MVP when Jordan retired.
They should have gone to the NBA Finals that year.
Dennis Rodman, the Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
People don't respect Bill Cartwright and Horace Grant. Those were really good players.
Tony Kukoc.
At that time, Kukoc. B.J. Armstrong.
Yeah.
We saw John Paxson and Steve Kerr hit game winners. Everybody acts like Bron was the first one to play with great players. We saw a mass exodus to Houston. Charles Barkley was 900 years old.
Yeah, but Mike didn't leave to hook up with other players.
Because they came there.
But they drafted them.
Oh, it's okay, Dan. They were in Chicago, first of all. How many times have you got on the radio and said, you know what, I'm going to go hoop in Cleveland?
Well, I'm from Ohio.
No, I'm saying, how many times have you said, I'm going to go hoop in Cleveland?
Probably never.
Okay. And you from Ohio?
Yeah.
Okay.
So. But I always think of LeBron, he's a Cleveland Cavalier.
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
And the Lakers
won't be his last team.
And the legacy is this, too. The way he was treated when he left Cleveland, we don't give him credit for going back. Don't get me started on LeBron. I love the guy.
I know I do, too. I think he's the greatest player of all time.
Right. He went back and delivered a championship.
But Tom Brady's resume, to me, is more impressive. Because Brady plays in a one-and-done playoff system.
Well, it's harder. It's harder. I argue this with Kendrick Perkins all the time. It's harder to win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you got one bad game, you're out. If LeBron has one bad game against the Celtics, you can come back and they got to beat you 3 more times.
100%.
All right, so are we okay?
But LeBron got to play defense and offense.
Well, I've seen him sometimes. He didn't play any defense.
That's okay. Right. What a chase down block.
Tom.
Dan, let's not do it.
Andre Iguodala. I know. But sometimes Tom plays great defense by playing great offense to keep his defense off the field.
Sure does.
Yeah, touche. How about that?
Dan, we are not going to see how to... When Tom won in Tampa, you think the defense was more responsible or the offense?
In the Super Bowl.
Defense. Right? All right. Well.
But... How about the totality of the season?
It was the number one defense in the league.
Don't make me go Larry Allen on you.
Well,
you go to the liquor store and buy me something.
I told him you can get thrown over the rail too.
Do you want to talk about the Super Bowl?
If you want to, we can do whatever you want.
Better defensive line.
Philly. Complete.
Deep.
You can't say that I'm going to give all this attention to Hassan Reddick because Josh Sweater hit your quarterback in the back of the head, Javon Hargrave, Fletcher Cox, and Ndamukong Suh had a revival.
Yeah.
He's starting to rush the passer at a high level.
But they brought him in probably to shore up the run game.
Shore up the run game.
Yeah.
And then we saw him put a quarterback out, the second quarterback from San Francisco. I think when it comes to Philly, man, the difficult part for Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy going into this game is figuring out how to protect. Because if you guys can't block them one-on-one, it don't matter anyway, right? But how do you allocate? You like that word? I'm starting to learn some financial stuff. Like, how do you allocate resources? You like that?
Well, pay dividends.
It's got to pay dividends.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. You got to allocate resources to making sure you get these guys blocked up. And I really think the only way you do it is obviously getting the ball out of Pat's hands quick. And Andy frustrated the hell out of me against Cincinnati because he kind of just flippantly ran the football out of shotgun. You better figure out how to use Pacheco to keep these dudes from pinning their ears back and taking advantage of your offensive line. And the Chiefs' offensive line is good. They protect it well.
Is Patrick Mahomes a top 10 quarterback of all time right now?
Yeah. I truly believe he is. Mm-hmm. I believe if Patrick Mahomes retired today, he'll be in the Hall of Fame.
Do you believe that Aaron Rodgers would not retire this year because he doesn't want to share the Hall of Fame spotlight with Tom Brady and J.J. Watt?
I mean, everything I've seen about Aaron Rodgers tells me he don't want to share the spotlight with J.J. Watt and Tom Brady. He wants his own dark room Hall of Fame ceremony.
Have you ever gone into a dark room for 4 days to get clarity?
No. I don't know how that works. Darkness to me means death. I ain't trying to die there.
Wow.
It's just that simple.
We just got deep there.
Hey, man.
But what happens when you walk into the room and it's dark? I can't find the chair. I can't find the, like, you know.
If I want to go to sleep, okay?
Yeah.
I go in a dark room, and then I wake up and I go outside because the sun is good for you.
Would you take anything personally when you faced a quarterback?
Man, let me ask you a question.
All right. Here we go.
Let me ask you a question. All right. Why is it always filthy rich people that do dumb stuff? You know what I'm saying?
People don't skydive.
I grew up in Baton Rouge, okay? My mom worked hard. My dad worked hard. We didn't have a lot of money. We didn't have a lot of allocated resources.
Okay. You might have been in a dark room, not by your choice.
But that's what I'm saying. They were going through a lot trying to raise me and my sister, get us the events and sports and try to get us to school and do our work well. That's a high stress level, right? While being broke, they never needed a retreat in a dark room for clarity. It's like it's all the rich people, I'm gonna go sit in a room for 4 days. Bro, you made $50 million this year. Turn the lights off in your damn house and sit in there for 4 days.
Why do you have to pay to go someplace, fly someplace to sit in a dark room?
I don't get it, Dan. There's certain things about life I don't understand. Why rich people get free stuff more than poor people?
You just pointed out you got free stuff.
That's what I'm saying. I'm benefiting from it. I'm not going to say no. Don't give me the Travis Scott's.
Do you have rich people problems?
No. I will be, though.
It's great to see you. Joining us all the appearances during the year. We always got a great reaction, and we appreciate that.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me, man.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Our next guest, Sal Palantonio, covering his 30th Super Bowl, 28th for the mothership. You can catch him on NFL Matchup Show with Greg Cosell and Darius Butler on Super Bowl Sunday, 9 Eastern on ESPN2. ESPN national correspondent covering the NFL, Sal Palantonio, joining us on the program. Looking good, looking lean, looking ready for Super Bowl Sunday. Sal Palantonio. Looks like he's ready for a TV appearance there. You look like you're ready to go on TV. You know, as a reporter, you always have to be ready. Whenever you would sit around the mothership and that'd be breaking news, then it, you know, depending on what the sport was, you go, hey, put on a jacket, you know, prop you up, and all of a sudden you go on TV. Sal, good to see you.
Grant, great to be here, Dan.
Yeah, you're looking good.
I'm all right.
Is it different with your hometown team in the Super Bowl? Yes?
Just telling Todd, you know, I'm up to my chest in snakes and alligators, man.
Why?
And it's everything all the time. It's 24/7 coverage, you know, as it is when you're covering a Super Bowl team for ESPN, but then you add the fact that it's your hometown team, and there are a lot of requests, and you know, you don't want anything to fall through the cracks. You don't want anybody reporting a story before you do either.
But how taxing is that for NFL reporters? Certainly the importance of the sport for ESPN of not...
It's not taxing. You know, it's fun. It's definitely fun.
But if somebody beats you to a story that you should have gotten.
I blame it on Adam Schefter.
Oh, you do? All else fails,
yeah.
You blame Schefter. Yeah. You could take him, couldn't you?
In what way?
Like a fight.
Probably. I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Wait. Clear
Adam,
this.
Have you seen Adam's guns?
Yeah, Adam, I've seen him. I've seen him without a shirt off. Yeah,
Adam's got his shirt off. He was in the gym yesterday with me. He looks like he's doing pretty good.
Yeah, but clear something up. Were you a Navy SEAL?
I was not a Navy SEAL, no. I was a surface warfare officer in the United States Navy for 6 years.
Okay, but that sounds serious.
Well, I went through boot camp, then officer candidate school, pretty rigorous training. Then you train while you're in the Navy. So there's a lot of training.
What did you want to do?
Excuse me?
What did you want to do in the military?
What did I did my service. I enjoyed it. It was great, but I missed my family. You know, being out at sea, it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to make a choice, really. If you're in the Navy, you're either going to be out at sea or you're going to come home. And
Shefty hasn't been on a destroyer.
No.
Tell him you want to. I would take you over Shefty. I mean, there was almost going to be a fight in Houston, almost, at the bar. And I remember Sal Powell was there and you had my back.
We won't talk about that.
we can talk about it. Sal doesn't have to. All I know is there was a guy who wanted me to do a shot, and I didn't want to do the shot.
Wasn't Dibble there?
Yeah.
I do remember.
Yes.
It.
And all I know is...
I do remember it quite well.
This guy was getting in my face because he said he thought that I was too good to have a shot with him. And I'm going, no, I don't want to do a drink. If I do a shot, then somebody's going to say I saw him do 5 shots. And all of a sudden, Sal is just staring at this guy, and you got your hands out. I don't know if you recall what you did, but you're, like, ready to go. And you did have my back. Nobody else who was with me had my back, but you did. And you were ready to maybe disarm this person.
hey, Dan, sometimes you just got to look at a guy and they know they got no shot.
Okay. All right. What is change? So this is your 30th Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What's the biggest change?
Social media.
Yeah.
Gambling. Big. You know, this is the best Eagles team of all time, in my opinion. Covered the team for 30 years, but it's also the most engaged team of all time. You know, you go around Philadelphia, 30,000 people out on the streets when they won the NFC Championship game. People are totally emotionally engaged in this team, and I think a lot of it has to do with gambling. I really do. People are gambling on the NFL like crazy.
But
$16 billion is going to be gambled on the Super Bowl. $16 billion.
Have they broken it down by cities, like where Philadelphia would rank? Gambling on Sundays, any Sunday.
Top three.
You think so?
Sure. You know, when New York made online gambling legal, which was in January of this year, excuse me, 2022, we saw an explosion in gambling when online gambling was legal in New York. And it's New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. That's the vortex, other than Las Vegas.
How concerned are you of where we are now to where we're going to be gambling? And you got to start thinking about things that could go wrong, nefarious things, I would think, with the sport, with gambling.
I'm not too concerned about it. I'll tell you why. I think there's enough money in the sport, you know, if you're talking about players and your coaches, right? I think there's enough money in the sport where 99.9% of those involved in the sport are not in jeopardy of saying, okay, I got to do something. They won't be tempted by it. They won't be tempted. There's not the temptation there. And the league has put in great safeguards, I think, and protections. And they scare the players and the coaches enough that this is something you can't do.
Sal Palantonio, the mothership, joining us here in Scottsdale Stadium. Not a bad setup here. They gave us the ballpark.
Last time I was here, I think I was having a beverage of choice with Chris Berman at a training game. Right, like literally right on this spot. I think this is like a hospitality suite.
Yes, it is. Yes,
yeah,
it is.
And we've come here a lot, actually. Yeah. It's fun. You know, I love baseball. I love it.
Where is the drama this week?
Oh, man. I think the number one drama has to be, is Jalen Hurts fully healthy to play the game? Absolutely.
And what are you hearing?
I think he's healthy enough to do what they need him to do to win the game.
Okay.
So I was talking one-on-one with Shane Steichen yesterday. No cameras. You know, they have the coach and player availability. And he was sitting at a table by himself, the offensive coordinator of the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
No one was around him, so I just pulled up a chair next to him. And the last question I asked him, I went through a bunch of stuff, and I just said to him, yes or no answer. Yes or no answer. Will you be restricted in any way and how you call the game based on Jalen Hurts' shoulder. He said, no, we're trying to win this game. We're going to go out and win it.
You think he's going to need surgery in the offseason?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Because it feels like we keep focusing on Mahomes' high ankle.
Ligament shoulder surgery is tough to do anyway, right?
Yes.
It's the only way you really repair it is through rest, you know, over the long period of time. So, and he hasn't had that. He has had to go back onto the field.
The high ankle sprain, though, everybody wants to talk about that because it's Mahomes.
Yep.
Mahomes' value to the Chiefs is different than Jalen Hurts' to the Eagles.
100% different.
And what you're going to ask them to do. Can the Eagles get into a shootout?
They don't have to, and I don't think that they will. They rushed 44 times against the Niners in the NFC Championship game. And you look at Mahomes, he's 10-3 in the postseason. 10-3. Am I right about that, Paulie? 10-3. So you look at the three losses. The common denominator in the three losses is he loses the time of possession, right? You got to play keep away from Patrick Mahomes. If you try to get into a shootout, you're going to lose. You got to play keep away. The way to play keep away is to run the football. Cincinnati had 18 rushes, Dan. 18 rushes in the AFC Championship game. You got to run the football. I know I sound like some, you know, dinosaur, but in this game, you got to run and play keep. If you put Mahomes back on the field, you can't get him off. He's got a great third down completion percentage. They're great as a team on third down. They're great as a team on fourth down. Don't put the ball in his hands. Play keep away, because once you put him on the field, he's hard to get off the field.
Yeah, I've said this before, that these games come down to, can you make a stop? Can you run the football? And I want, when Mahomes gets on the field, that now he has to have a little more pressure to make something happen, because if he goes off the field, the Eagles run the clock. Now you've reduced the number of times he's going to get the ball. Now you put a little more pressure on
him. The number one outlier in this game is the Eagles' offensive line. They are the best unit, single unit, in this game, without a doubt. And they can dominate, and they have. And I think that they will try to run the ball and play keep away with Patrick Mahomes. You know, defense wins championships, but quarterbacks win the Super Bowl. And that's what you got to do. You got to prevent Patrick Mahomes from winning the Super Bowl. Because in the fourth quarter, like you said, you got to make a stop. He's hard to stop. So if he's got the ball in his hands with a chance to win the game in the fourth quarter, you're probably going to lose. He's probably going to win.
Is he a top 10 quarterback of all time right now?
I don't think so. Not yet. Not enough time yet, Dan. Okay. Not enough time. I don't think top 10. You know, he's getting there, though. He's pretty darn good.
Dan Orlovsky says that Joe Montana is not a top 5 quarterback of all
time. Joe Montana is the number one quarterback of all time, ahead of Tom Brady. I agree with Lawrence Taylor. I take Montana over Brady.
Why?
So accurate. Never lost a Super Bowl. Never threw an interception in a Super Bowl. Just so intuitive with the ball. And don't forget, you can't touch the quarterbacks now. Montana used to get hit.
Oh, gosh.
Brutalized.
Yes.
All the time. And he hung in there. I would take Montana. Brady's a close second, but I like Joe.
But if you look back and having, you know, covered the NFL and been around for Elway and Montana, those guys weren't throwing 30 touchdowns in a season because, you know, the offenses weren't geared towards that, or the defenses were a whole lot better and more physical. You know, when people go, you know, Elway, I think, threw 30 touchdown passes maybe once, maybe Montana did it once as well. But that's not what their games were predicated on. Terry Bradshaw and the Steelers weren't predicated on that.
Yeah.
You know, we get caught up in, what are the numbers? But if it came down to one game, it's like somebody said to me, hey, I know you think LeBron's the greatest basketball player of all time. Who would you take in a one game? I go, I'd take Michael.
Sure.
But if I said, hey, you got one World Series game to win. Am I picking Curt Schilling? Sure. John Smoltz? Sure. Jack Morris? Sure.
Tom Seaver?
They're not the greatest pitchers of all time that I'm taking. So one game, yes, but that's different. You know, Clayton Kershaw's got a Hall of Fame career, but am I taking him over Curt Schilling? The answer is no. So I don't know what we proved there.
It was a good discussion, Dan. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
The commissioner said the officiating's never been better. What did you make of that remark?
Not perfect. Never been better.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's got stats to prove it, but I think, you know, it doesn't pass the eye test for most people who are
watching.
But
there's more social commentary. That's why I think there's more debate. There's more rules.
Yep.
And that makes it tougher. I give them the benefit of the doubt because we've stood on the sidelines and watched an NFL game.
It's hard to officiate an NFL game. It really is hard. And so much of it is subjective.
Yes.
For sure. Offensive holding, I think, is subjective, for sure. Defensive holding is not, I think. And I think roughing the passer is not subjective. It is not. It really isn't. So there were times in that AFC Championship game that I thought the Chiefs should have been called for roughing the passer on Joe Burrow several times.
Yes.
Yeah.
And certainly one time there was.
Several times.
Yes.
Yeah.
They should be able to review roughing the passer.
Yes. Yep. I agree with Belichick. I think pretty much everything should be reviewable. And Dan, put it on TV. Why don't we put it on television? I mean, when he goes under the blue tent, start the cameras rolling live. Have Troy Vincent, John Runyon.
With audio?
Audio, the whole schmear.
Oh, boy.
Put it all on TV.
Wow.
Hey, if we can have cameras and audio in a courtroom in the United States of America, why can't we have...
Football is more important than courtrooms.
I mean, football is not more important than a courtroom. I mean, we broadcast trials live. Why can't we broadcast a review live? And guess what? You can sponsor it. You can make money off it. It'd be great.
Oh, I love it.
And guess what else you could do on it? You know, gamble.
Well, you know, we're going to get to that. You're going to be gambling on each play.
They do that now anyway, yeah. In stadium.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest things. You can gamble. And it's unbelievable how much young people are gambling all the time. But getting back to the refereeing, I think overall they do as good a job as they can. And I think they can do better for sure. I think all you have to do is look at the officiating crews. If you ever read Kevin Seifert's column on ESPN.com, he does an unbelievable job of reviewing each crew. There's too much variation between the crews on what they call. That shouldn't be happening.
But they also shouldn't have all-star crews for playoff games. It should be the team that you had.
I would agree with that.
Because I still go back to the Saints-Rams game. If you had a team together, egos wouldn't have played a role there, and no, those guys would have huddled up and said, "Look, you missed it. We're gonna help you out on that." And it felt like that.
It seems counterintuitive that they don't work together all year long, and then they're put together during the biggest game on the planet on one day. They should be working. You wouldn't take a team of all-stars and put them in the Super Bowl. You have to, you know, work up towards it. I agree with that.
Let's be co-commissioners. I think we could handle this.
Sure.
Yeah.
I like that.
We'll split the paycheck.
Okay.
How much does a commissioner make?
Oh, it's way up there.
Is it 60?
It's a lot.
Yeah. Paulie, how much does the commissioner make?
Closest to the hole. What do you think the commissioner is going to make this year?
I'll say 65.
Yeah, I'm going to go 72.
Oh, I have 54 last year.
Oh.
But,
okay.
Poor guy.
Well, did he have a good year this year? I don't know.
I'd like to be baseball commissioner, Dan, just for like a couple of weeks. I'd like to just sit with Rob Manfred and see what's going on with
baseball. What would you do for 2 weeks?
I wouldn't have to have any power. I would just like, you know.
Oh, you just want the title.
Yeah, just the title. Walk around.
Hey, commissioner.
Walk around from, you know, spring training complex to spring training.
Yeah.
Sit where I want to sit.
Okay.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. You and Peter King. You and Peter King, I could see.
Yeah, you know, spring training baseball is the best thing ever invented by mankind.
Yes, it is.
Yes, without a doubt.
Yes, it is. I've spent many, many a spring in the bleachers here.
Yeah, it is absolutely wonderful to come here to this stadium and watch a game. You go down to the Marriott Suites down there, you walk over here, you have
sure.
a,
Yeah. A beer or so?
Yeah,
couple of beers?
Absolutely. It's nice.
He's Sal Palantonio covering his 30th Super Bowl. You can catch him on NFL Matchup Show with Greg Cosell, Darius Butler on Super Bowl Sunday, 9 a.m. Eastern on ESPN2. Sal Pal, great to see you, buddy. Thank you for stopping by.
DP, you're the best.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
He's the best sports writer in America. He's more than that. He's Wright Thompson, ESPN senior writer. Saw that he did a long, well, he always does a deep dive. And he did a deep dive on Joe Montana. And I thought, all right, you got my attention here. Wright Thompson joining us on the program. What made you decide to do a deep dive into Joe Montana?
So I always felt like I didn't know anything about him, and I didn't really understand, I don't know, what made him who he was. Like, he just seemed like one of those guys who the more time elapsed from his playing career, the more of a mystery he seemed to me. I don't know if he seems that way to other people, but I just was curious what it was like to be and have been Joe Montana.
What was Montana's reaction to you wanting to do a deep dive?
I mean, he came around eventually.
Yeah. Joe doesn't like talking about Joe.
No, he does not. I just sort of figured if I never went away, eventually he was just going to have to deal with the fact that it's happening.
What was that first meeting like, that first conversation like?
Well, you know, I think he was curious why I wanted to know things about his psyche as opposed to about what it felt like to throw the ball to Dwight Clark. You know, you could sort of see that, like, okay, what is this? I mean, you know Joe, I'm sure, very well. I mean, he's lovely. You know, that there is this sense, at least, I don't know if you've ever gotten the sense around him, but, you know, that he is lovely, but there are universes below the surface. And so one of the things that, you know, I did one interview with him and had hoped on some level, like, hey, maybe that'll be enough. And then just kept going back again and again and again, because when you meet him, you do sense that, hey, this is a guy who has a really complex and serious interior life. And I would like to know about that. I mean, Ronnie Lott, one of the first things he said was like, the key to understanding Joe is that Joe was an only child. And Ronnie Lott was like, so Joe lived much of his childhood in his own head. And and then Ronnie looked at me and goes, and he still does.
Well, and I've been around him in social settings as well. And you would never know that he was one of the great quarterbacks of all time. There's nothing about him that exudes that, even his size. You know, I think they thought he was a kicker when he first showed up for the 49ers because he's so slight. But I also wondered about this, and we have Tom Brady, who is now that guy. Joe used to be that guy. Now, what does Joe think about where he is in the pantheon of quarterbacks now that Brady has superseded him?
Oh, I mean, he hates it. You know, I mean, like, I think...
Does he say he hates it?
He said... You know how Joe is? He's like, but yes, absolutely. I mean, he watches the games. He like the rest of us, wants to know why Pete Carroll didn't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he was just like, give the damn ball to Marshawn. I mean, I think I spent a decent amount of time around him, and I think he's less jealous of the rings than he is of the fact that he gets to watch someone else sort of live his life that got ripped from him. And also, you know, these guys like dominance. I mean, there's a story in there about Walmart paid Dan Marino, Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas, and John Elway to do an event. And they went out to dinner afterwards. And, you know, they're laughing and drinking, and the check comes, and Joe Montana sort of smiles and is like, whoever has the fewest rings pays. And so they determine that that Joe has four and that Elway has two. And Unitas has one Super Bowl ring, but three NFL championship rings, which at that table counts as four.
Okay.
And, I think Marina drops an F-bomb and has to reach for the check. And so... You know, these guys like the dominance. I mean, you don't get to be Joe Montana or Johnny Unitas or Sammy Baugh or Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes without wanting to be dominant. So I don't think it's much of a surprise that he doesn't like being knocked off the mountaintop. The thing I found interesting, and you know this so well, but bitterness is such a common affliction of once great athletes that it's almost most noteworthy when it's absent. You know, I mean, Joe DiMaggio famously was miserable. And so, and Montana knew DiMaggio a little bit. And, like, I find it such an interesting continuum that these guys, they seem like names from the past, and yet their lives have something to offer, not just Joe Montana and Tom Brady, but Patrick Mahomes and all of these guys, because everywhere these modern quarterbacks who are going to play on Sunday are going, there are people who have been. And so, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, Joe working to not be bitter and to live in the sort of full majesty of his life, which is really incredible. You know, his wife, Jennifer, I'm sure you've met, pulls no punches when talking about her very complex man who she loves very much. But she's like, I think he's the happiest he's ever been. And that's really interesting.
But Brady's dominance and blowing past those four Super Bowl rings, and he's the greatest of all time, and it's not even a debate. I mean, we're debating, you know, Jordan and LeBron, and Jordan hadn't played in decades, and he's still holding that mythical, you know, place in our hearts. I was just wondering about that Joe has sort of been diminished a little bit here by Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Like, he's in that shadow of Tom Brady, who wanted to be Joe Montana playing for the Niners growing up.
And I mean, two things. I mean, one of Joe's kids, I thought it was a really savvy read, was just like, look, you know, I can see the heartbreak in my dad a little bit, and that he now wants to talk about football. where he never wanted to talk about football. And, you know, that there is a sense of you can feel something running through your fingers.
Yeah.
You know, but the other thing that is so interesting is that, you know, you come that title, oh, this is Joe Montana, the greatest who ever did it. I mean, that starts to precede you into every room, like rose petals or something, you know, and there's a mourning when it's gone because, you know, as you know, Joe paid such a physical price. I mean, they literally don't know how many surgeries he's had post-career. It's somewhere between 27 and 35.
Oh, my God.
And you know, he's had to sleep in this Velcro back brace. And I just love it because it's like, oh, Joe Montana is all of us because his wife is like, you better wear that damn brace. And so he has it on at night and he's trying to unhook it one microfiber at a time so that it doesn't make any noise and wake her up. So she gives him crap and makes him put it back on. So I could just see Joe Montana there in the dark. You know, this is his new 2-minute drill. Let me just very carefully try to get this thing off. You know, like, and so you just love that idea. I'll tell you, I came away thinking, boy, if when I'm 66, this is what my life looks like, I will feel like I did a great job. One of the things that happened with the pandemic is all the Montana kids came back home and everybody was working from home and they were having big family dinners 3 or 4 nights a week. You know, they're 2 grandkids now, 1 on the way. Joe takes the oldest granddaughter to her swim lessons. I guess there's some like fancy club near their house in San Francisco. I just love the image of all these San Francisco moms with the little kids and then Joe Montana getting in the pool splashing. And his granddaughter wanted to ride on a cable car. And Joe had only ever done that once, and I love it because he was very sheepish when I was like, when did you do that, Joe? And he was like, well, it was a commercial, and it was me and Tony Bennett, and he was singing I Left My Heart in San Francisco. And I'm like, you know that's not normal life, right? And so so they took the little girl out to the streetcar, and it wasn't a streetcar stop, and so the thing wasn't going to stop. And then the conductor or whatever the noun is of someone who drives a streetcar sees who it is and slams on the brakes. And so I just love the idea that, like, the great power and joy of being Joe Montana now is that he can make a streetcar stop for his granddaughter. And, like, that must just seem like such a magic trick to her.
He's right. Thompson, ESPN senior writer, did a deep dive on Joe Montana. It's almost he lost his identity a little bit, where it was firmly cemented. He didn't have to have a sign or arrows pointing towards him because everybody knew that's Joe Montana. But then all of a sudden, Who is Joe Montana to these other people now? Because Tom Brady did all of these things. Patrick Mahomes is going to blow by you. Is like it just? I get it, and he can't go out and be competitive and play a game and say, "See, I can still do it, and I'm better than Brady was." And I understand that. I understand where you're kind of lost a little bit there.
Well, and I also think that this is a complex thing that he's lost because he, you know, in some ways, you know, he's almost like a case study in a psychological journal in that here was someone who was the very best in the world at something and then had the ability to do the thing they did better than anyone taken away, had to deal with the just huge hole in their lives. Go listen to his Hall of Fame speech. It's unbelievable how honest and naked it is. And people just missed it. He talks about how he felt like the ceremony, he could hear dirt hitting his casket, like he was being buried alive, and that like he was not into the Hall of Fame weekend, like he felt like it was a funeral. Wow. And that like who am I supposed to be now? So I think the greatest of all time was an easy way to talk about a complex series of losses. And so I mean, you know, I think if you really sort of get under the hood of it, yes, he's dealing with the loss of that very simple title, but also just with everything that means. I mean, what do you do when you used to be Joe Montana and you can't do that anymore? I mean, one of the things Jennifer says is that she worries that he thinks the best part of his life is over.
Yeah.
And that they've worked on that for a long time.
You know, when you dive into somebody, you do a profile, you know, you unearth all these great things. And I didn't know if Joe unearthed something through all of this that helps him, you know, that, you know, have some kind of epiphany or realization through all of it.
I don't. That's a good question. I haven't heard from Joe. I've heard from some three or four. I've heard from his kids, who said they learned things and found it more emotional than they thought it would be. I mean, I imagine when you're Joe Montana, it's not really that big a deal to have a story written about you. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't know if he will approach it as. I mean, he's still in his head. He's Joe Montana.
Yeah, but you're not dissecting a game, right? You're dissecting him. So an outsider is looking at you under a microscope, whereas we used to just look at you and we would write about the game you played. This is life that you're analyzing.
You know, that's a very good question. I wouldn't let me write about me for sure. Man, I got real problems that that don't need to be on a page. I'm always very, very grateful.
If I gave you Brady or LeBron, your next one.
LeBron. One of the things this story is accidentally is a profile of the next 30 years of Tom Brady's life. And I'm not entirely sure he knows what's waiting. I mean, Steve Young, who you obviously know, who might be the most thoughtful retired athlete I've ever met in my whole life. I mean, just, you know, him talking about Montana and getting emotional because he had front row seats. And now that he's older, he understands. He wasn't trying to take Joe's job. He was trying to kill him. You know, for guys who take this as seriously as they do, mm-hmm. I think they both understand now stakes that they couldn't possibly have understood while they were competing. And, you know, Steve talked really eloquently to me about, every great quarterback wants to write more in the book, and you just can't. And you can't let it destroy your whole life trying to write more in the book. And, talking about Joe, he said, I think Joe is surprised that it turned out that what he wrote in the book wasn't enough and that it's frustrating because he no longer has the ability to go add to it. And that if he could, he wouldn't abide this. And yet there is no mechanism for coming back.
Yeah.
And, that's it.
They take away your pen. I mean, they take away the football, but your body really takes you away from that opportunity to write any more chapters there.
And in some ways, Joe is lucky in a way that, the NFL that Brady played in is obviously so different. One of the things I did is go back and watch old games. And I don't know if you've done that recently, but I was staggered by the violence.
Yes.
I'd forgotten.
Yes.
You think the modern NFL is violent because it is, but it is. I mean, this was unbelievable. I mean, they were, the number of times he got hit helmet to helmet late, driven headfirst into the ground with Leonard Marshall and LT both on top of him was just unbelievable. And so his body made a decision for him that Tom Brady's body did not. And so in some ways, Montana got out and started building this new life that in the last 10 years has come to fruition. And, Brady had to decide himself. I mean, Joe Montana. Joe Montana's a lunatic. He wouldn't have walked away. He's a totally insane person. He would have kept trying to win until they had to literally drag him off of the field, which is what they did. And so in some ways, that's a weird blessing.
He's Wright Thompson, ESPN senior writer, and it's a, as you've come to expect from Wright, it's well done, and you learn more about the person than you do the athlete, because I think that's really the story. And what you said about Tom Brady doesn't realize it, but Tom Brady should really look at this, because he might be looking at this in 30 years from now going, wait a minute, I'm not the greatest of all time, or what happened, or where's my place in history? It's great to talk to you, as always. I'm glad you're doing well, and appreciate you joining us, as always.
Thanks, Dan. It was really great. Thank you so much.
That's Wright Thompson.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.